And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic.
Good morning. Welcome to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic. It's Tuesday, the 23rd of April. I'm Michael Bailey, and on today's show, West Ham speak to Amorim.
To set their sights on Amorim, so highly rated and coveted, is a real sign of ambition.
Inter seal their 20th Scudetto.
L'Inter è campione d'Italia per la ventesima volta.
And can Chelsea trip up title hopefuls Arsenal?
This is the most ominous game of the season for me.
This is the Daily Football Briefing with Michael Bailey.
Let's kick things off by wrapping up last night's action. And we begin in Italy, where Inter are champions.
L'Inter è campione d'Italia per la ventesima volta nel corso della sua storia leggendaria. La seconda stella è sul petto delle maglie nell'azzurre. È finita così.
Yes, Inter won 2-1 at San Siro against their city rivals AC Milan. It was pretty comfortable with Inter 2-0 up until Fikayo Tomori made life more interesting with 10 minutes to go. There were no more goals, but there were three red cards as a couple of altercations left Milan down to 9 men, while Inter saw out a record 6th successive Milan derby victory. Inter have a 17-point cushion to Milan in second. And what about this? Inter are the first team to win the Scudetto in a city derby in the history of Serie A. Woof. We'll have more on Inter's success with James Horncastle in a bit. Earlier in the day, Bologna tightened their grip on a top-four finish with a superb 3-1 win at the side just below them in the table, Roma. And Udinese have appointed former Italy captain Fabio Cannavaro as their head coach for the rest of the season. Onto the race to reach the Premier League next season. There were just the 7 goals at the Riverside Stadium as Leeds beat Middlesbrough 4-3 to move into the automatic promotion spots on 90 points. Leaders Leicester pick up the baton tonight as they host Southampton, who aren't out of contention yet either, especially if they win this one. You can follow the action from 8 p.m. on Sky Sports, and in the US it's ESPN Plus from 3 p.m. Eastern. As for La Liga, Sevilla's revival continued as they won 2-1 at home to relegation-threatened Mallorca. And in Portugal, I know this is rare, Benfica were 3-1 winners at Farense. That keeps Benfica 7 points behind the leaders and their Lisbon rivals Sporting, who are managed by highly regarded head coach Ruben Amorim. And speaking of Amorim, West Ham could need a new manager for next season. David Moyes is out of contract this summer, and while he's saying he's got an offer to stay on, there have been no decisions. So West Ham are planning for their just in case, with Sporting boss Ruben Amorim travelling to London yesterday for talks over a potential appointment, should there actually be an actual vacancy. Our own David Ornstein broke the story, and he joins us now. David, Amorim has been linked with the Liverpool job too, so how likely would it be that he joins West Ham?
Well, this is a real surprise. It's a story that we broke on The Athletic a little bit out of the blue, because while we knew Amorim is expected to leave Sporting Lisbon this summer, and much of the speculation has focused on Liverpool, it's actually West Ham who have attempted to steal a march in the process by holding conversations with Amorim, his representatives, about the possibility of taking their managerial position if David Moyes is to depart this summer. That's when his contract ends, and there's been a lot of speculation over his future. There are some reports saying that he will be going. We don't have anything from the club at this point, and they insist that no decision will be made until the end of the season. But to set their sights on Amorim, so highly rated and coveted, is a real sign of ambition.
Do we know anyone else West Ham are considering if Moyes does leave?
They've considered, and I'm sure will continue to consider, a number of options, such as Julen Lopetegui, formerly of Wolves and with a great CV himself, more experienced, of course. But to my understanding, Amorim is top of their list. He's the leading candidate. That, of course, could change. The opportunity is thought to appeal to Amorim, but that doesn't mean that they are his first choice. We don't know where West Ham stand in his mind.
And I guess this does all factor into the big question at Liverpool. Are they any closer to working out who will replace Jurgen Klopp?
My information is that a move by Liverpool for Amorim is now regarded as unlikely. That will come as a surprise to many who thought he might have been nailed on because of the reports that have emerged, particularly in Portugal. But those reports were not replicated over here because our information has always been that, yes, Ruben Amorim is in the conversation for Liverpool, but he's not a shoo-in. They are running a thorough, methodical process that is considering a number of candidates to fit what they want in terms of the profile and the key criteria. They won't be afraid to be brave and bold in their own decision. It might not be a populist choice. Right now, it would seem that that might not be Amorim. And in terms of whether it will be West Ham, we just cannot say at this point in time. But certainly, it's a development that not many people saw coming.
Thanks, David. And we'll keep you in the loop on every little bit of the managerial merry-go-round right here on The Athletic. Let's return to Inter's Serie A title, won with five games to spare and clinched with victory over their fierce city rivals AC Milan. Our Italian football expert James Horncastle is in Milan and joins us now. James, how special was that occasion for Inter?
It's no understatement to say that this Scudetto will be one of the most fondly remembered in Inter's history, not only because it was their 20th league title, and for every 10 league titles that you win, you get to put a star above your crest. So this was the Scudetto della Stella, la seconda stella. But to do it against your local rivals, AC Milan, in a derby, had never happened before. A Scudetto had never come down to a derby. So for these stars to align was perfect.
Now, there's always an iconic figure in any success. Who has it been for Inter in Serie A this season?
Simone Inzaghi, the coach, I think is the figure of this league title because, you know, Inzaghi has always been presented as the king of cups. They've played a style of football that is very avant-garde in 2024. Lots of fluid positional interchanges. Centre-backs playing in midfield, midfielders playing in defence, depending what the situation is. We've seen wing-backs cross to wing-backs for goals. We've seen centre-backs cross to centre-backs for goals. It's really exciting stuff, and he deserves a lot of credit. No one can say he's just the king of cups now, because he's finally got his hands on a league title, and what a league title to get his hands on.
On Sunday, Nottingham Forest lost at Everton and published that post on social media about some of the officials' decisions and the VAR appointment for the Premier League game. It's all in yesterday's daily football briefing if you need a catch-up. Unsurprisingly, the fallout continued yesterday and our reporter, Namdi Onyeagwa, brings us up to speed. The FA is involved now, isn't that right, Namdi?
That's completely right, Marco. And I mean, it's been such a crazy story, such a crazy turn of events. I'm not really sure where to begin this update from, but I think best to start off with the statement from the Football Association yesterday. The FA did release a statement formally requesting observations from the Everton game from Nottingham Forest manager Nuno Espirito Santo, defender Nico Williams and referee analyst Mark Clattenburg. On top of that, the Premier League then released a statement of their own showing how extremely disappointed they were to read the comments from the club on social media, confirming that not only will the FA be investigating the statements, but the Premier League will also be conducting its own investigation into the matter in relation to the league's rules.
Thanks, Namdi. And Forrest followed up those statements with a fresh pair of their own, calling for the audio of conversations between the match officials at Goodison Park to be made public. They also want football's authorities to change the rules surrounding the appointments of officials for games where there could be a perceived allegiance to rival clubs, although that perception may well depend on the thickness of the tinfoil hat on your head. Such shenanigans are not the sole preserve of England. However, in Spain, Barcelona president Juan Laporta has reportedly refused to rule out requesting a replay of Sunday's Clásico defeat at Real Madrid after Lamine Yamal's shot was adjudged to have not crossed the line. I mean, requesting a replay and getting one are very different things. The Premier League fun continues tonight when leaders Arsenal host Chelsea at the Emirates Stadium. Once the full-time whistle blows, Arsenal will have played a game more than second place Liverpool, who have a Merseyside derby at Everton on Wednesday, and they will have played two games more than the defending champions, with a rare Thursday outing for Manchester City, who head to Brighton. It's been a busy time for Arsenal, four games in 10 days, in fact. So will Mikel Arteta rotate his squad? Speaking on the Handbrake Off podcast, Amy Lawrence doesn't sound convinced.
It's hard to make a case that is convincing because all of the evidence is that Mikel Arteta is in some ways maybe reluctant or maybe not quite having the required amount of trust in some of the players on the bench to use them at this moment when it's so critical. It's hard to look beyond everybody who's on the pitch against Wolves plus maybe he'll give Zinchenko a go, or Tommy if he can return to fitness. Partey is sort of an interesting one. I mean, even if he doesn't seem his sharpest, he's affected the balance of the team in a way that can be helpful. And that's probably a really tough decision for Mikel to think about whether you actually have enough faith to throw in someone who's been completely unreliable. Haven't been able to rely on him at all in the last, well, all of this season for one reason or another and a bit towards the end of last season. So, and yet on his day and at his best, he can be an incredibly helpful presence on the pitch.
As for people not sounding convinced, how about this from our Chelsea correspondent, Liam Toomey, who is at Wembley for their FA Cup semi-final defeat to Man City. And as he told the Straight Out of Cobham podcast, he's not really looking forward to seeing the Blues head to the north of the capital.
This is the most ominous game of the season for me. I don't think I've gone to any game this season with lower expectations than I will go to the Emirates with.
It was pretty horrible last season, right? Around about this time. That was one of Chelsea's worst performances, I seem to remember.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some really bad days there in recent years, but it's also the particular context and timing of this game. You know, there are three or four players, important players, who played against City that I do not expect to play in this game. You know, I said at the start of the podcast about Cole Palmer. He doesn't look 100%. He looked like he was playing through something. And he played well against City. Enzo Fernandez, we know, has been playing through discomfort for quite a long time that has been limiting him physically. So I don't expect him to be such a short turnaround for this one. And I just think Chelsea are going to be, they're going to be a bit demoralised. The last chance at a trophy is gone. Is Europa League or UEFA Conference League really that much of a carrot for this group of players to kick on between now and the end of the season? And you're up against an Arsenal team that have had a difficult few games. They're going through a bit of a bad moment relative to their usual level, but they're in a title race. And now they're in a title race that they're fully focused on. And the sense of urgency is with them. And I think it's going to be a really tough night for Chelsea.
And as trailed there by Liam, Maurizio Pochettino did indeed suggest Cole Palmer is likely to miss tonight's game through injury. You can watch Arsenal against Chelsea live from the Emirates on TNT Sports from 8 p.m. in the UK, and it's on USA Network from 3 p.m. Eastern. If you're in the UK and you'd rather watch another game, then how about the Coppa Italia semi-final between Lazio and Juventus, who lead 2-0 after the first leg in Turin. That one is on Viaplay from 8 p.m. And that's all for today's Daily Football Briefing. I've been Michael Bailey. Your producers were Abby Patterson and Mike Zimmerman, with Ian McIntosh executive producing right into Wednesday, when Adam Leventhal will be with you. In the meantime, have a top Tuesday.
The Athletic. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.